Yeah, it is good to be alive. It is good to experience life, and we have so much to be thankful for. And this morning, again, we reflect on the whole Thanksgiving season. And I want you to know this morning, there's so much more than just getting together for turkey. There's a whole lot more to it than that. And I ask you the question this morning, are you wearing Thanksgiving on you like a cloak? Is your life a life of thanksgiving? Are you thankful for the things that you have? Are you thankful for the things that God has done for you? Do you stop and take a moment to say, thank you, Lord? My granddaughter, Chloe, came home from school here a couple weeks ago, and it was raining. And she comes into the house, bouncing into the house, and declared that it's a beautiful day for rain. We miss it so often. You know, God gave a beautiful day for rain. And I wonder how many of us have been thankful this summer for a beautiful day of rain. We've had plenty of them. I had to think of a little bit of the Chuckwagon Gang and little Roy and their song, or I don't know if it was a song or it was something he said, that they were going from place to place, and everywhere it seemed they went for lunch, they got fried chicken for lunch. And he said his quote was that they had it hot, they had it cold, they had it young, they had it old, and they had it tender, and they had it tough. And he said, good Lord, don't you think we've had enough? But you know, we need to stop and recognize the things that we have are from the hand of God. Everything, the breath that we breathe, just to be able to get up in the morning is a gift from God. And if that's not enough, the fact that we are redeemed, hallelujah. Can I get an amen? Amen? The fact that we are redeemed is enough this morning, that if you get out of bed and recognize that you are a redeemed child of God, should be enough to say thank you. You know, we go to a restaurant and the waitress brings our meal or fills her cup with coffee or whatever it is, and we courteously say thank you. You go to the supermarket and somebody holds the door open for you, you say thank you. You know, guys, and I might have said this before, but bear with me for a moment. Karen was struggling with her leg and a little laid up, and all of a sudden, you know, guys, did you know that the socks that are in the drawer, when you go and open the drawer to get a pair of socks out, they actually get washed and they get folded. They're not just there. They're put there. Thank you, Karen, for those socks in my drawer. You know, we take it for granted. So many things. We go to the cupboard and you get out a box of cereal. Thank you, Lord. Seems simple. How about getting a cup of water? Going to the faucet and a cup of water. You can turn on the faucet and nice, clean, good water that we have here in Lancaster County. It's the best back there at Muddy Creek. But good water. And drink it, and it's, do you ever stop to say thank you? It's a beautiful day for rain. Yes, thank you. It is a beautiful day for rain. And I'm going to be jumping around a little bit with a number of different scriptures this morning. The first one you can turn to is Numbers 11, and I'm going to be reading verses 1 through 6 in Numbers 11. Very familiar story, and we all know how it turned out in the end, but let's take a quick look at it and just refresh our memories. I think it is one of the things that I found as I study for this message this morning. I'm thinking, I've preached on Thanksgiving before. What can I preach on Thanksgiving that's new again? And then I was reminded as I was studying, I'm like, boy, it doesn't have to be new. I need to be reminded again and again and again and again to be thankful for the things that I have and the things that God has done for me. And it changes your whole outlook on life. I assure you that when you have a thankful heart, it changes how things look. In Numbers 11, verse 1, now when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, for the Lord heard it, and his anger was aroused. So the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed some in the outskirts of the camp. Then the people cried out to Moses, and when Moses prayed to the Lord, the fire was quenched. So he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord had burned among them. Now the mixed multitude who were among them yielded to intense craving. So the children of Israel also wept again and said, "Who will give us meat to eat? We remember the fish which we ate freely in Egypt, and the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now our whole being is dried up. There is nothing at all except this manna before our eyes." And I say, wow. I mean, just this manna? Just manna? This was a miracle from God that he was providing food for them, a sustaining food that was being given to them every day. And they said, "It's just manna." Wow. And I wonder how often we go to our refrigerator and we open it up and see leftovers again. God had fed the nation. He had given them the heavenly manna. The people were getting tired of it. We know the rest of the story where God said, "Okay, you're tired of manna. I will give you meat." And he put quail there, and they ate quail. They stuffed themselves, and there was thousands of them died with the meat in their mouth. And I ask you this morning, do you think it's important to God that we are thankful for what we have? It is. It's important to God. And I think it should be the... We'll look at a couple of scriptures, but there's so many times it comes right up there with... It comes right along with being holy and being thankful. Being holy, being thankful. When the disciples asked Jesus to teach them how to pray, he said, "Pray like this, start like this. Our Father who art in heaven." Hallelujah, that we have a Father who is in heaven. And then he said, "Say, hallowed be your name." So we start out, we're yielding to the Father. We're acknowledging that he is our Father. And we are acknowledging that his name is holy. His name is above every name. And if you look at many of the scriptures, the Psalms that David wrote, so many times he started out giving thanks to God first before asking for the things that he wanted. And I ask you this morning, is that your character? Is that the cloak that you have put on? That you're giving thanks to God first instead of jumping in and say, "God, I need this, that, and the other thing." Looking back here at the children of Israel and how distorted their minds must have been to think that it would be better to go back into slavery and have onions and melons and stuff like that than to have to deal with this manna. It would have been better. They thought at this point they'd rather have fish and onions and stuff like that and be in slavery than to be free and eating manna. So we see how twisted the mind can get. And I love the scripture in Habakkuk 3, 17 through 18. I'm just going to read it for you. "Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord, and I will joy in the God of my salvation." So I ask you this morning, if you're here this morning, and maybe things aren't quite working out the way that you would like them to. Maybe the grapes have failed on the vine. Maybe there isn't animals in your stall. There's not in my stall. But I don't know where that came from. But the point being, if things aren't working out quite the way that you want them to, are you still thankful? I don't need animals. I'm fine. Are you still thankful? Are you still thankful if it's not working out? One of the things that was happening here, the Habakkuk was speaking to the Lord and saying that Israel had fallen, Josiah had died, and Israel had fallen back into a very wicked state. And Habakkuk was saying, "Lord, why aren't you dealing with these people? Why aren't you bringing your wrath on these people?" And then it seems like he all of a sudden realizes that if God were to do that, then these things that he mentions here possibly won't be. And am I going to be thankful for it? And I ask you this morning, many of us have prayed, "Lord, heal our land." We have recognized the downward spiral of the moral decay of America. And we have prayed, Lord, heal our land. Are you ready? Are you ready for God to heal the land? Are you ready to embrace whatever it is that God brings to heal this land? And are you willing to be thankful for it? And some of that will mean giving up maybe a cushy job, maybe a home, maybe family. Are you willing? Because if God deals with the immorality the way that God often does or has in the past, we live here, we will be affected by it. I was blessed this past weekend to be able to attend this Anabaptist symposium on sexual abuse that was up at the Alfred Business Center. And I am thankful and I praise God that there are people, there are men and women who are taking it seriously, the sexual decay of our culture. It blessed me that there are people who are willing to stand up and face it head on. Because I know that, I've talked to many other pastors that have been faced with this thing and have felt like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to respond. I don't know how to react. God's word is pure. It is holy. It will give direction. It will lead and it will guide. So many times if we don't have exactly what we want, we don't see a reason to be thankful. That's kind of the culture. That's kind of what we have fallen into. Sometimes our needs, wants, or desires take a back seat to what God may be doing in a particular situation. Sometimes our needs, our desires, need to take a back seat to what God is doing in a particular situation. Are we willing? Are we still thankful? Are we still thankful when it just seems like it's not happening the way I want it to happen? But so many times, God is working out the details. And we can be blessed in it. Here's the sum of it. Our ultimate source of thanksgiving should come from what God has revealed about himself in the Word and in the person of Jesus Christ. Amen? Our ultimate source of thanksgiving should come from what God has revealed about himself and his Son Jesus Christ in the Word. That should be our ultimate source of thanksgiving, and it should always motivate us. In the 18th century classic, A Serious Call to a Devout and Holy Life, William Law made the following statement. Would you know who is the greatest saint in the world? He's asking it as a question. Would you know who is the greatest saint in the world? It is not he who prays for most for justice, but it is he who is always thankful to God, who wills everything that God wills, who receives everything as an instance of God's goodness and has a heart always ready to praise God for it. Could you therefore work miracles? You could not do more for yourself than by this thankful spirit, for it turns all that it touches into happiness. Hallelujah. Thankful people are fun people to be around. Thankful people are people that you will listen to. Thankful people are people that have something to say to you that you will listen to because they are thankful people. It reflects that they believe what they're saying. It reflects that they are living out what they're saying when they are thankful people. Hallelujah. So I believe the best cloak that can be put on with the whole putting on of Jesus Christ is to put on the character of thankfulness. What is stopping us from doing it? What is stopping you? What is stopping me? Why are there days that I walk around with my chin hanging down to my, bumping on my chest? Why? When you sum it all up, it's not so bad. And some of you were wondering, you know, a couple of weeks ago I was diagnosed with cancer, they told me. And so went through the process, had it removed, and waited a whole week on the test results. And Friday went to get the results, and they took the stitches out, and the doctor came in, and she said, the good news is it's benign. I said, thank you. I don't understand it, but I said, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Amen. You know, I had a doctor, two doctors, the family doctor and the surgeon, stand there, look at it, and say, without question, it's cancer. I don't know what happened, but I thank God for it. I thank God. So there's so many things, so many times, you know, you cut yourself. Isaac messed his hand up with his truck here out in Colorado. It's healing. There's a mark there, but it's healing. You know, our bodies heal. Do you ever stop and say, thank you, Lord? Do you ever get a cold and you get over it? You're miserable. Your head's stuffy and you just feel like, oh. You get over it and do you ever stop and say, thank you? Or are we like the lepers, the nine, that failed to ever come back and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Being thankful is difficult. I understand that. We live in the flesh. We live in a time and a place where there are so many opportunities for things to get our minds drawn away. And that's why I believe it's important. In Psalms 103, it says this, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his name. And it speaks to a reaching deep down inside. And all that is within me, all that is within me, bless his name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who sacrifices your mouth, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Hallelujah. And if you need to read it, turn to it and look at it. Psalms 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Do we find that grumbling and complaining stuck down inside, that as soon as something doesn't go my way, that's the first thing that pops out? And as we saw in the video this morning in the Conquer series, that when we reroute our minds to be thankful, we become different people. We become victorious people. And when that person pulls out in front of you or whatever, it's not as... Being thankful is difficult. And let me give you some suggestions. Let me give you some things. And I copied this from a Jason D. Bradley. And here are some things that you can do to be a better complainer. Okay? Stay with me. What I'm going to say here is to enhance your complaining ability. Keep a journal. You know, it's not bad enough that someone has done something wrong to you or that something bad has happened to you. Write it down. Write it down. Keep a journal. That way you can keep track of everything. It's documented, and that might be significant, or it can be as insignificant as you wish. But write it down, okay? Make a journal. Spend time every day reflecting on the things that people do that bother you. If you find that you're actually content, it can be helpful to go back to your journal and remind yourself of all that you have been frustrated about. You see, so this will help you to improve your complaining attitude. Think about the words that we use. People are typically thankful, have the same kinds of lives as you and me. Let me rephrase that. Let me say that again. People who are typically thankful have the same kinds of lives as you and me. The difference is they're not realists like we are. They haven't put in enough time. I'm still telling you how to be a good complainer. They haven't put in enough time practicing to be frustrated and irritable about the things that are happening around them. Language matters, so be mindful of the adjectives that you use. The more strongly you label things, the better you're going to be able to cultivate a grumbling spirit. Use adjectives like horrible. Oh, that was a horrible day. Or a horrible lunch. Bad. It's bad. Or atrocious. Atrocious. There's a word. Use that one sometime. Irritating. Stupid. These are words that will help you to become very experienced in your complainability. Get distracted. Get distracted. When people are thankful, it's typically because they lack the ability to remember the bad stuff that's happened in the past or worry adequately about things that might happen in the future. To be a top-level complainer, you need to be good at both, remembering the past and worrying about the future. Remembering the bad things that happened and worrying about the future. If you want to be a top-level complainer, always, always multitask. Why just sit and enjoy a meal when you can check your phone or watch TV while you're doing it? Why just sit and enjoy a good, quiet meal when you can turn the TV on and listen to some news that will drive you into a depression right off the bat, just listening to that? So you're eating, trying to fill yourself with, trying to relax and trying to digest good. So sit in front of the TV and watch some really depressing news, and that'll help you become a better complainer. If you give yourself too much time to focus on the good stuff happening around you all the time, you'll miss out on the potential threats on the horizon or the bad stuff you've already experienced. Here's another one. Focus on your prayer time. You say, what? Listen to me. Prayer is a wonderful tool for getting what you want. Don't waste valuable time lauding God for his attributes. Don't waste valuable time praising him and thanking him. He knows what he does very well. Focus on asking for the things you don't have and that you desperately want. See, we're still becoming better complainers. Avoid focusing on your health. It's amazing how thankfulness and health go hand in hand. The healthier people are, the more likely they're going to be grateful, positive people. And then the more positive they are, the more likely it is that they're going to make healthy decisions. It's a waste of time, really, if you want to be a good complainer. Get as little sleep as possible. Lack of sleep can create anxiety. Anxiety is like steroids for complainers. Exercise is poison for a complainer. Did you know that exercise gives you endorphins? Yeah, endorphins. Good things that happen to you when you exercise. It makes you feel good and you feel healthy, and don't do it if you want to be a good complainer. You don't need these happy chemicals floating around in your body. They stop you from seeing the world as a horrible cesspool that it really is, and you don't need anything to interfere with that. Obviously, and I quit with the making you better complainers. We don't need anything to help us be better complainers, do we? It's all right there. It's all right there, and we all participated in it daily. So we don't have to practice to be complainers. What we need is to know how to be thankful people. 1 Chronicles 16:34 says this, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercies endure forever." Forever. Ephesians 5:18-20 says this, "And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns." Can I stop there for a moment? Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks always to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. But what stood out to me is that we are charged to speak to one another in psalms and hymns. We are to speak to one another encouraging. We are to speak to one another encouraging, lifting up words. Are we doing it? Are we doing that? Giving thanks requires practice. Giving thanks in all circumstance. Give thanks when things are going well. That seems a little bit odd. How is it that I should stop and have to stop and give thanks when things are going well? It comes naturally, doesn't it? Not necessarily. I think we need to be intentional in stopping and giving thanks when things are going well. Recognize the good that comes from bad experiences. Recognizing the good that comes from bad experiences. We sit and we grumble and we complain about the bad experience when God, in essence, is working out something that is beautiful and good. Do we ever stop and thank God for the bad experience that caused us to become a better person? No, we don't. We just buzz through it, grumbling. That is not the way it should be or the way we would like it to be. Understand the power of thanks. Thanksgiving is a superpower. It enables us to see past our experiences and embrace the way God is moving. Thanksgiving enables us to see past our experiences and embrace God and what He's doing. He's saying, Lord, I yield myself to you, and I'm happy that you're God. I'm glad that you're in charge of this, and I thank you that you're in charge of this, and I'm not. So many things come and go in life that we manipulate and try to change, and we put a lot of energy, and we get ulcers, and we get sick in the stomach, and we can't breathe right, and our blood pressure's high, and sit back and say, thank you, Lord. I don't understand it, but I'm glad that you do. I'm going to finish up with Philippians 4. Again, very familiar, but let's look at it. And learn from it. Philippians 4 starts out with verse 1. Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. I implore Euodia and I implore Cynthia to be the same mind in the Lord. It appears that here were two people that were not getting along with each other. And he's saying, I implore you to be of one mind. Be of the same mind in the Lord. Be of the same mind. And I urge you also, true companion, help those women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Rejoice in the Lord and let your gentleness be known to men. And in verse 6 it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And I believe that's the word God has for us this morning, is that with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. I believe that we should pray for our daily bread and those things, but I believe it should start with thanking God and then letting our requests be made known. And it says this, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Is your heart peaceful this morning? Do you have a peace in your heart this morning, knowing that there is a greater deity, there is a God who is involved in your life, who has orchestrated your life, or are you wringing your hands and trying to get it right and running about everywhere and anywhere to try and fix, to change, and to manipulate God to be and do what you want to do? What we're doing is we are creating a God in our image. We are creating a God in our image instead of making our image after God. If we are thankful people, we put on the cloak of Jesus Christ and we live like Him and we show the world that we are different people. That we are different. We're thankful people. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that we have a building to meet in this morning. Thank you that we have chairs to sit on. Thank you that you came this morning. Because out of this, we fellowship together. Thank you, Lord. And the list can go on and on and on. You should never run out. Because every day, I think there are new things to be thankful for. There are new things to be thankful for. Christians should be characterized by thanksgiving. It says in Romans 1:21, and listed in the ungodly traits, one of them was unthankful. In John 11:23, I find this interesting, that Jesus, when he did the miracle, when the lad with the five loaves and the two fishes, what did Jesus do when he broke the bread and the fish? What did he do first? He gave thanks. Why would Jesus have to give thanks? Why would he have to give thanks? And this is not original with me, this thought. I didn't write down where I got it. And I apologize for that. Why would he have to give thanks? The person that wrote it suggests that it's a possibility that the miracle was somehow wrapped around the whole being thankful. You want to see miracles happen in your life? Be a thankful person. Be a thankful person and see what happens. See what happens. Thankfulness will draw others to you. I've never met a defeated, thankful Christian. Think about it. Have you ever met a defeated, thankful Christian? So I call us to that this morning. I don't have anything new for you, but I have this. Let's be thankful people. Amen? Amen. To the glory of God. To the glory of God. Let's pause and ask the Lord to bless the word. Father, we thank you this morning for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the written word. Thank you for your spirit and the guiding hand that you give to us through your Son Jesus and through the Holy Spirit. Father, I thank you this morning that we have opportunity in this land to experience the things that we do. God, we are so grateful to you for the many blessings that we experience here in America. God, thank you this morning, most of all, though, for the redeeming work of Jesus Christ on the cross and the blood that was shed that we could be one with you. And Lord, this morning I thank you that we have the opportunity to come into the Holy of Holies and to meet with you. God, I'm so grateful to you for that. And I thank you, Lord, for each person in this room this morning that has given themselves to you, Lord, and have been named among those that have their robes washed in the blood of the Lamb. Father, I thank you again today that we have the promise that when we come to you, that when we call on you, you're always there for us. You don't leave us nor forsake us. Thank you for that. I thank you this morning, Lord, that we had food and clothing and a place to meet. And Lord, the list goes on and on. And Lord, we thank you for your gifts, love and grace and truth and justice and mercy. God, so many things we had to thank you for this morning. God, we lift up your name. We praise you as the only source that we want to worship. And we worship you this morning. God, meet with us in Jesus' name. Amen. Are you going to always win? You going to always be on top? No. But do you generally live as a thankful, joyful person? I'm going to ask the chorister to lead us in song.